My name is Paula Eat. I'm the Mayor of Kingborough. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to tonight's meeting on Monday the 20th of December 2021. Welcome to those people who are watching at home on live stream via YouTube, as we don't have anybody with us in the public gallery. It's 5:30pm, so I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. In accordance with council's policy, I'll ask the Acting General Manager to confirm that the audio recording has commenced.
Confirmed.
Thank you. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land, pay respects to elders past and present, and acknowledge today's Tasmanian Aboriginal community. In acknowledging today's Aboriginal community, I would also like to take a moment to reflect on the recent passing of a much-loved member of the Tasmanian Aboriginal community who also made an extensive contribution to Kingborough. Uncle Bill Hodge passed away on the 6th of December, and I was fortunate to have known him and his wife Brenda for over 25 years. Uncle Bill was a kind, generous and inspirational individual. He was a role model and a mentor to many throughout Tasmania and beyond. He had remarkable leadership qualities, and he was inclusive in bringing people together through truth-telling and understanding. He had a great sense of humour, always a twinkle in his eye, and a hat for every occasion. But importantly, Uncle Bill made every person he met feel special, which is a rare and unique quality. Uncle Bill, along with his wife Brenda, worked extensively within Kingborough through school communities and other community organisations. And in 2000, Bill and Brenda jointly received a Kingborough Award for their significant contributions to the municipality. I was honoured to attend the deeply moving celebration of Uncle Bill's life on Saturday that was held at the Kingborough Community Hub. In the words of his much-loved daughter Trish, with Bill's passing, a new fire is born in the night sky. On behalf of Kingborough Council and all residents of Kingborough, I convey my condolences to Auntie Brenda and daughter Trish. Please know that your much-loved husband and father has left a remarkable legacy. Before we continue tonight's proceedings, it would be remiss of me not to make a brief mention of the tragic events that unfolded last week at Hillcrest Primary School in Devonport. Like I'm sure everyone here tonight, I'm struggling to process such a tragedy. I have today written to the Mayor of Devonport, Alderman Annette Rockcliffe, to offer the sympathies of the Kingborough Municipality during this exceptionally sad time. But in effect, there are no words. So I would now ask the councillors join with me in 1 minute silence as a mark of respect to the victims, their families and the loved ones. Yeah, if we could stand. Thank you. Turning now to the agenda, attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordover, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Grace. Councillor Midgley has indicated she may be a few minutes late. Councillor Street and Councillor Wass. From staff we have the Acting General Manager, Mr Smee, Chief Financial Officer, Mr Breen, Director of Engineering Services, Mr. Reeve, Director of Environment Development and Community Services, Dr. Stevenson, and Media and Communications Advisor, Ms. Adams, our Customer Services Coordinator, Mrs. Vellini, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs. Amanda Morton. We have no apologies this evening. On page one now, confirmation of minutes. The motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting number 24 held on the 6th of December 2021 be confirmed as a true record. Do I have a mover? Mover in Councillor Fox, seconder in Councillor Bastone. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Staying now on page one, workshops held since the last Council meeting. There were no workshops held since the last Council meeting. Moving to page two, declarations of interest. Does any Councillor have an interest that they would like to declare? No? Thank you. Transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from open into closed session or closed into open session? No, thank you. There being no members of the public present, there will be no questions without notice from the public. However, for those watching along at home, if you would like to submit a question on notice for the next council meeting, which will be held on Monday the 17th of January, you can email it to kc@kingborough.tas.gov.au. At the time the agenda was compiled, there were no questions without notice from the public. Questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question without notice?
Yes.
Councillor Grace.
Mayor, I have three. I've had numerous phone calls from Middleton residents about barking dogs. It's been going on now for a year. Madam Mayor, so obviously it's getting on somebody's nerves, and we need to address this and find out how many dogs or what is going on down there. I'm told by the progress group, who I'm a member of, it's not a major problem. I would ask that Council please monitor the situation there.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. So we would need somebody to lodge a complaint.
I believe
directly.
They have.
Okay, thank you.
I believe several complaints have been.
Okay, because we would need some specifics about whereabouts and times and so on. So Mr. Smee has made a note of that and we'll follow
and
up.
And I've seen two of them.
Two complaints or two dogs?
No, I haven't seen the dogs. Every time I go down there, they behave themselves.
You can read your own into that.
Yeah, but I just need to ask staff if they could certainly have a look at that situation.
Thank you. The second question?
My second question is, Mayor, I'm very disappointed, upset in the fact that consistency, as you know, I've always been a part of, being consistent within our council on whatever we do. I am very disappointed that DAS 2021-1 was rushed through with delegated authority and some applications, and I can won't go into it, but some have taken 5 years for one
point
person.
Of order. It's questions without notice from councillors.
Sorry, what's the point of order?
You're supposed to be asking a question.
Well, the question is, if you listen carefully, acting mayor, no, you're not now, but deputy mayor. My question is, as I said, I am disappointed in the consistency within this council.
Okay, so that's a statement. Can you frame it in a question for me? Because I know Dr. Stevenson would like the opportunity to respond about why that has come by delegated authority. Is that the question?
Well, the question is, I guess in a question, why didn't the applicant, like most, accept an extension of time?
I'll ask Dr. Stevenson to answer that.
It's not quite what I wanted, but it's something to satisfy the Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Dr. Stevenson.
Thank you, Mayor, through you. This is was a complex application that has required some to-ing and fro-ing, not just on Council's part, but included a six-month or so delay while we waited for information from the applicant. But essentially the reason it had to go to the General Manager for a delegated decision was that the representations submitted information on the 23rd of November, which was quite complex, included traffic reports. We would have needed to assess that within 2 days and complete the report within 2 days in order to make the 7th of December Council meeting. We requested an extension of time from the applicant on the 1st of December, which they denied. They would not wait for this meeting, and so therefore we can't stop the clock in relation to some of these matters, so the time would have run out and it would have been decided anyway, so we thought that the General Manager review the report under delegation. It's not ideal, but it was unfortunate in that up until towards the end we had indications that the applicant would be prepared to extend the time frame, and they determined ultimately that they wouldn't. It has been, there were 4 representations. Some of them were minor and did not raise planning matters, but one of them provided significant traffic reports that did need to be fully assessed. So that was what happened there.
Madam Mayor, I will accept that as a qualified person giving me advice on that.
You have another question?
Yes, I have 2 more. I guess, Adam, Mayor, I'm wondering if you've been down to Snugget late or down Conyngham area. My question is, when you first came into office, that you were going to help us resolve the problem of the bus shelter that's not painted pink.
Thank you. Yes, and I have been regularly in Snug and Conyngham, I think the week before last. Look, it's unfortunately the General Manager isn't with us this evening, but he was tasked with the action of speaking further with Metro Tasmania. I think I indicated previously when you had asked this question that I had actually raised it myself personally with the CEO of Metro when I met her at a Greater Hobart Mayor's Forum that she was addressing. We haven't unfortunately progressed as far as I know any further. There is still dispute. There is a very large project going on at the moment involving the state government and Metro and ourselves as to who actually owns all the bus stops, because we don't actually own that bus stop. And so that's where the dispute is. We don't own it, and therefore we can't give the authority for anyone to go and paint it. It is actually, as we understand it, owned by the state government or Metro. Neither of them can decide who owns it.
Madam Chair,
and that's not, and that is not just that bus stop, that is every bus stop in Kingborough.
Well, Madam Chair, I don't want to argue, but there were 3 bus shelters built, and I mean, Councillor Wasson and some of the other councillors know by the local progress group, which my late brother was involved in that. And that's one of the bus shelters they built for the community, so not Metro. I can provide written evidence to that if you wish. But thank you anyway.
We are trying to resolve it because it seems like a ridiculous impasse, but mm-hmm. We are trying to, and I will undertake to ask the General Manager when he returns if he can provide us with a provide me with an update and I can pass that on to you to see whether we can
That would be very much appreciated for the community. Madam Chair, last meeting I raised a question about fill that's available on several projects throughout Kingborough that Kingborough could take delivery of. I was talking about, and I just spoke to Councillor Wass a while ago, I'm looking at the budget workshop 2020 and 21, and it says here the document Hobart City Deal, and it says here, and I could have, I'm not sure whether I've got the right project, but I think I have. It says Spring Farm Road Extension. Now, the general manager said at the last meeting when I raised it, there's nowhere that it's mentioned on the works program. Correct me if I'm wrong.
So, I'll ask Mr. Reeve to address that.
Yeah.
Given that the document you're quoting from is from a budget workshop, that was probably that is a working document, and not then, as you know, when we workshop something,
yeah,
we extensively look at all the options and then prioritise when we know what capital funds we have available. But I'm sure Mr. Reeve can provide some further detail.
Through you, Mayor. If councillors cast their mind back, they'll probably remember that originally when we were putting forward for City Deal funding there, we were looking at the Spring Farm Connector, plus also potentially a park and ride at the sports centre and some work on Kingston View Drive. And that's what that particular matter would actually refer to. After various discussions with State Growth, that project changed into what we're actually doing at the moment, which is the Transform Kingston in the CBD. So it is still a valid project. We certainly have done the design work on that project there and still available for future funding, but it is a fairly expensive project to actually complete, one that's probably going to be well suited for some future grant funding. But it does sit, if you like, within our future plans, just not immediate.
Following to that, thank you very much for that. That's the best I've heard on that project, because we've been dealing with it for a long time when the bridge was built, and as they named it, the bridge to nowhere. Well, it's not no longer. Mr. Reeves, as I understand, there's going to be a lot of fill required up through that swampland up towards the cemetery onwards, and I only raised it because I know a couple of contractors that have a considerable amount of fill that they would make available, and it's very good stone fill.
Thank you. Mr. Reed noted that, I think, last week, even though he wasn't with at the last meeting when you raised it, even though he wasn't here, he has made a note of that. Are there further questions without notice? Councillor Bastone.
Thank you, Mayor. I have five questions, three of which are for closed session. My first question is, what is the Council doing to progress the ambulance station for the Channel, which was promised in the last state budget? Hobart has less ambulances and less paramedics than the northwest coast, and that is actual numbers, not per capita. And after the tragedy this last week, if such an occurrence was to happen either at Woodbridge, at Cygnet, or at Huon, we would be severely understaffed. So I'm just wondering what is actually happening about the ambulance station for the Channel.
Thank you. It's not something that has come across my desk in the last few months, but certainly in light of what you've just raised, we can write to the Premier and to the Minister for Emergency Services to seek an indication of the timeframes for that budget commitment. I can't recall from the whether it was included in the last state budget or not. So certainly we can I can write to them and impress upon them the need for that, just as we've also impressed upon them the need for additional police in Kingborough. And also recently Councillor Glade-Riot and I had some discussions with the Kingston Fire Station about their needs for... so there are significant needs in the Kingborough region in relation to the growth aspects that we're seeing and the need for equitable access to emergency services, so I'd be more than happy to write and lobby for that.
Thank you very much. My second question might also not have yet come to you, but it might have so. What discussions have been held with Metro regarding the upsurge in violence towards the bus drivers on our route, including two who were attacked in Franklin Square when off duty? The perpetrators are a young group known as the Red Caps and appear to live in the Channel area.
Once again, that's not something that I was aware of. I didn't realise there was a connection to this area with those. But certainly, I'm sure that I know that the state government has made a range of statements on this matter about wanting to work with Metro to protect the safety of their drivers, which of course should be paramount because we don't want to see a situation where buses are pulling out of routes because of the behaviour of a small number of patrons.
Yes, small yeah. number. Yeah. yeah. Thank you very much.
If there are there no... Councillor Watts.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'm wondering what, if any, input there is or does Council have in relation to Metro regarding urban bus routes?
I wish I could say a lot, but I think as we are all aware, as councillors who sit around this table, we have from time to time workshops with Metro Tasmania representatives, and we offer them the opportunity to have an insight into the needs of our community and the growing subdivisions and where the routes should be, and their response generally is that they are paid to operate the existing routes and any changes need to come through the passenger division of Department of State Growth. Strangely enough, though, that when we have state growth here, they tend to tell us that the routes are up to Metro. So kind of echoing an answer to earlier about the bus stops, certainly I believe, you know, we should be advocating as much as we can for some of our new subdivisions to be included on the routes, but ultimately that will be a matter of decision. We can make representations, but ultimately that's a matter for decision between State Growth and Metro Tasmania.
Thank you, Mayor, and if I can continue further, we used to have absolutely none, and we were promised that we would have, as would every other local government area, have an input into where routes ought to be. And if that has not changed, then I think we need to become active because there are a number of things that have occurred in the last 5 years. And unless Metro come to the party and run the service as the community wants, they ain't going to put bums on seats, as they say.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor Watts. Councillor Gray.
Question.
Yeah.
Good points, Councillor Watts, but how are they going to get people on buses? Because I read in the paper the other day, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're putting the bus fees up.
Thank you. I did not read that article about an increase in bus fares, but I think that as councillors would all be aware, one of the things that I've advocated very strongly would be to try and have free bus fares during peak periods in order to relieve some of the congestion, and I think most people sitting around this table would agree with that. Are there any further questions without notice? Otherwise, we'll keep going. Thank you. So staying on page two now, we had questions on notice from councillors. There was a question from Councillor Street in relation to road widths and parking with an officer's response from Mr. Reeve. We had two questions from Councillor Midgley. both with an answer from Dr. Stevenson. One was in relation to a pop-up use space and the other one in relation to the community hub booking fees. And there was a question from Councillor Bastone with an officer's response from Mr. Arnold in relation to the Firthside Park and Ride. Moving now to page 4, petitions still being actioned. At the time that the agenda was printed, there were no petitions that were still being actioned. And also petitions received in the last period. At the time it was compiled, there were no petitions that had been received. We move now to officers' reports to councils. The first one relates to the Kingborough Community Safety Committee chairperson. There is a recommendation on page 6. The recommendation is that Councillor Blank be appointed as the councillor representative and chairperson of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee, and the committee members be advised accordingly. Do I have a mover? A mover in Councillor Westwood and a seconder in Councillor Midgley. Councillor Westwood, would you like to fill in the blank?
Thank you, Mayor. I would like to move that Councillor Bastone be appointed as the Council Representative and Chairperson of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee and the committee members be advised accordingly. I am the outgoing Chairperson and we have recently elected new community members. It is also time for the action plan to be updated, and it's a good time for a new chair to come in. Councillor Bastone has been a strong advocate in this area for safety within our community, and subject to her approval, I think she would be a wonderful chair.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Councillor Grace.
I have a question, and I don't want to be sexist again or anti-female or whatever. This never came out for anyone else. If they were interested,
well,
in
that's
this.
What we're doing now.
Well, no. The chair that's resigned is nominating who correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But she's nominating, or should I say, she? I'm sorry, apologise. Councillor Westwood is nominating who she would like to take the chairship.
That is correct.
Well, that to me is corrupt, in a sense.
Councillor Grace, please don't use words like corrupt. Well, so lightly, there is no corruption.
It doesn't.
Please, if you wait a moment, Councillor Grace, I will explain the process that I'm about to go through here. I asked for somebody to move the motion, which Councillor Westwood did, and Councillor Midgley seconded. Councillor Westwood has suggested that Councillor Bastone be a nominee. In throwing the floor open, I am going to ask whether anybody else wishes to provide a nomination as the chair. If somebody else wishes to be the chair, then we will have an election, and it will be a democratic election. This is not a foregone conclusion, but Councillor Westwood has... somebody had to move something. We couldn't have nobody's name up in that motion. So this is a starting point. It is open for nominations from the floor as we now move around the table of speakers.
Okay, I'll accept that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't wish to nominate. Thank you. I'm busy enough with being on one committee, but I'd like to acknowledge Deputy Mayor Westwood for her time on the Safety Committee and the many projects that she has achieved.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Like Councillor Midgley, through you, Mayor, I'd like to acknowledge the terrific work that the Deputy Mayor has done on the Safety Committee and her good work with that, and also to all the volunteers on that Safety Committee for the good job that they do. And I guess I'd like to speak in support of the nomination for Councillor Bastone, who I think will make an excellent chair, and I really do support the timing of this as well. I think it does make sense that when you've got a few new people on the committee to change that chair, I think it really bodes well, and it should be a really good transition. So hopefully this passes, and I wish Councillor Bastone all the best in the new role. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova. Would anyone else like to speak to nominate themselves or anyone else? No. Councillor Bastone, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I will accept the nomination. Thank you very much.
Just thought I should check before putting it, because that would be awkward then, wouldn't it? Councillor Westwood, would you like to sum up? Okay, so I'm going to put the motion, and the motion is, as printed on the screen now that we have a name in there, that Councillor Bastone be appointed as the Council Representative and Chairperson of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee, and the committee members be advised accordingly. It was moved by Councillor Westwood and seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? Division is required. All those in favour, with a show of hands, please. Yes. Councillor Cordova, Wass, Midgley, Gladewright, Fox, Street, Bastone, Westwood and Reet. Those against, Councillor Grace. Thank you. The motion is passed. We move now to page 7 and a petition in relation to food truck trading at Kingston Beach with a recommendation on page 10. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved, Councillor Westwood. Seconded, Councillor Gladewright, because she waved as well. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us the food truck trading policy for Council in response to a petition that came to us signed by 578 signatories received by Council on the 2nd of November. This is, I believe, the fourth time the issue of food trucks has come before Council. It's not a straightforward issue, and I think all of us have been surprised at the passion of the community both for and against food truck trading. Personally, I'm very happy with the recommendation that we have before us. There are three parts to it. The first part is that the food truck trading locations policy be amended to provide 3 days per calendar week per vendor trading at the Osborne Esplanade location at Kingston Beach. This was the case until a couple of months ago when we approved a policy to change it from 3 days to 2 days. It was what instigated the petition, and I'm pleased to see that it is recommended that we reinstate the 3 days per week per calendar, 3 days per calendar week per vendor. The second part of the recommendation is that council officers investigate the provision of one reserved food truck space in a currently unused road verge on Osborne Esplanade. That came up through subsequent consultation. It has been suggested by food truck owners themselves, as well as businesses along Kingston Beach. The issue at the moment is that food trucks are required to park in a parking area, a designated parking area, and obviously with a truck and a van, more than one car park is taken up. And so I thank Council for listening to the issues that were raised and do encourage them to use that unused spot on Long Osborne Esplanade. The second part is to pursue an online booking system to ensure compliance to set trading times and fair and equal access to the trading site. I think this is something that is a result of our growing community, the growing appetite for different options along the Esplanade, and I'm aware that it is used by other municipalities across Tasmania with very little issue. So I do encourage the investigation of an online booking system, because I think as we continue to grow and the popularity of Kingston Beach grows, an online booking system would be a very good way of regulating that, and that council officers advise the petitioners of council's resolution. So I encourage my colleagues to support the recommendation we have before us. Based on my conversations, I think this is a good compromise, and I think it provides a good pathway forwards. I certainly don't want the issue to come back for a fifth time.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. A question about the proposed potential food truck trading space that's marked in blue on page 9 of our agendas. I kind of paced out that, which might have been an interesting sight for anybody who saw me pacing up and down. That's what I was doing. And my question is, it kind of fits more than one food truck, I would have thought. So I was hoping that maybe council officers could kind of explain the reasoning behind only having one, and also what are the implications there are for Victoria Street in terms of visibility, turning, things like that. And then finally, it says in the report that it'll cost about $2,000 to get that site ready. Let me make it clear that I think it's probably a really good idea, but I'm just interested to know what are the implications for Victoria Street traffic management around there? Are there any dangers around that? And what does that $2,000 pay for to get the site ready? Thanks.
Thank you. Mr. Reeve, could you answer that, please?
Yeah, sure. Through you, Mayor. Certainly we've had a prelim look at that one, and we'd need to have a more detailed look at it just to confirm that. But we believe that it would be a little bit too tight for two food truck vans there, but that would be part of the further detailed look at it. In terms of the turning movements to and from Victoria Street there, we don't believe that will be an issue, bearing in mind that it'll be indented, so we'll be looking at the food truck vans, similar alignment to where the other parallel parking is on that picture there. And in terms of the other thing which you haven't raised, but it's worthwhile raising, for the upgrade of the rest of the foreshore path down there, which is needed to happen in the future there, there might be some minor changes to that, but that won't affect in terms of what we intend to put in that space.
Thank you. Just one more follow-up question on that through you, Mayor. And it's a question about the impact on trees. So there's two big gums there, and I'm just wondering if they will be at all impacted, or if they are to be impacted, that will affect my view on the whole situation. So, yeah.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor, no intention to impact the trees.
Councillor Grace.
Look, I'm a loss with this, as Mr. Rees has just said, he's not sure on the space. So therefore, I can't support it, because if we've got a report up here in front of us saying, well, this is what we can do, but the question that my colleague asked was the fact that he was told by our engineer that he wasn't sure whether this would fit in.
Mr. Reeve, I think you might have been a little bit misquoted there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe a little bit.
No, I think you'll find the question that was actually asked is whether or not we could actually extend that out further to actually fit two food truck vans in there.
Yeah.
I guess what we've actually looked at is what we could actually fit into that space there, and we believe it might be a little bit too tight to fit two food truck vans in there, but the intention and what's actually raised in this report is to allow for one space there, and we are confident that that's not an issue in terms of actually having one food truck van space in there. But we can have a look further as to whether there's any possibility of actually fitting two in there.
Thank you, Mayor. I understood it, I think. Yes.
Thank you. Are there any further? Councillor Bastone, and then Councillor Voss.
Through you, Mayor, to Mr. Reeve. Why was this area not used for public parking to begin with? Was it not because of being opposite Victoria Street, and also because of the possible damage to the roots of the trees? There must have been some reason to have not had parking here.
Through you, Mayor. There's not a lot of rhyme and reason to some of the parking spaces that are actually along Kingston Beach, so they seem to have happened through history. So there's not necessarily a particular reason why that would not be used as car parking. You would only be able to get the parallel parking in, not the 90-degree parking, which you see along most of the areas down through there. So it's certainly not to do with the impact on trees, and it's not to do with the turning movements in and out of Victoria. So those particular aspects have already been looked at. The only aspects that would need to be further looked at would be the actual configuration of exactly what we put there and how that's line marked out, and, you know, taking on Councillor Cordova's point there, whether there's even a possibility of actually fitting two as compared to one in there.
Thank you. Councillor Walsh.
Thank you, Mayor. If I can start with a question. I notice from the proposal that to amend it to provide 3 days per calendar week, so week in, week out, 3 days. So if I'm a food vendor and I want Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I can have those for the next 52 weeks. Is that correct?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. So the intention of the booking system is to actually put some controls over that, so not allowing people to actually book out for large blocks of time. So it's very similar to the one that they actually use in Devonport at the moment, which they use quite successfully out through there. And it certainly would be one that we'd be monitoring as we go forward. So we've basically developed the booking system, so that will be almost ready to go as soon as we can sort of get a decision on this.
I'm at a loss, Mayor. That was for short parking, not long parking. I only want 3 hours a day, so that to me is short parking. So in that case, the next 52 weeks would be fine. I can't see a problem with that because it meets the requirements that were just provided. Is that what Mr. Reeve means, or does he mean that the booking system is going to work so that if you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday 1 month, you can't get it again that particular month and you've got to wait to the following month? What's it going to be?
Mr. Reeve.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. So the intention is for not allowing people to actually book, for example, a year in advance there to say, I want to have all three of these spaces there for a year in advance. The intention is, as was always the intention with the policy there, is to allow equitable use for all food truck vans who want to actually trade down there. And we can control that through the booking system. So only allowing people to book a certain amount of weeks in advance. And actually talking directly with the food truck operators there if there are ones that who wish to use it for longer and that means that other people are not getting access to it. Bearing in mind, as I said, the same sort of situation actually occurs in Devonport and that works very successfully between the food truck operators.
Thank you. Councillor Wolf.
I still don't think I've got an answer to my question there. I don't want to keep hassling Mr. Reeve about it, but how far in advance are we going to be allowed to book? I mean, there's nothing, it's all come up per se in words, but in correspondence, but not in words. So what's the arrangement? And are we going to develop arrangement and then come back to council to confirm that? He's shaking his head, so I assume not. So I'd be interested in what Mr. Reeve has to say.
Mr. Reeve, perhaps you could tell us what the Devonport system is that we're modelling this on. That might help.
Through you, Mayor. Look, I think we're starting to get into some of the operational details there, but certainly the viewpoint is there probably about 2 to 4 weeks there. We'd allow people to actually book ahead. But, of course, what we can do is adjust that if we find that that's actually causing some problems as well, as is the case with lots of different things that are actually in the policy there. If we need to make some adjustments there, we've tried to build that into the policy to allow that flexibility in there for that to happen. And that will be the same with the booking system there. What we don't want to have happen there is people feeling, from the food truck operator's perspective there, that they don't get a fair go in terms of actually being able to trade in that location there. So I would say 2 to 4 weeks would be the maximum of booking ahead of time there, but if we want to change that, we'll have that ability through the booking system.
Mayor, if I can continue, I will speak against the motion. I've always been concerned about the traders in existence. They're the ones that have worked to make Kingston Beach what it is. And I see food vans coming in at the best time of the day. They're not there all day. They come in, they take the cream off the top, they disrupt everyone else, and they go. Now, if the community wants that, that's fine. But some of the community don't want it. And certainly the retailers don't want it. The retailers have got fixed overheads. They have to pay rates and taxes. These food vans virtually get their site for nothing. The other aspect, of course, is where it's proposed on page 9. I'm concerned about the safety. We have the toilets on the urban side of the road, not on the beach side. And if the food van goes where it is, where are, particularly children, where are they going to cross after they've been across the road and washed their hands and they're heading back? Where are they going to cross to go to the food truck? I know it's a slow limit along there, but if you've ever seen children, they run out between vehicles. You do not see them virtually until you're on top of them. I think we're going to create a safety issue. The other aspect that I'm concerned about is that we're going to provide them with all they asked for. They wanted 3 days. Certainly the retailers didn't want the 3 days. And on that basis, I'm a little bit concerned that we haven't given any consideration whatsoever to the brick and mortar retailers, and therefore I will oppose this motion.
Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I wasn't going to speak, but a few other comments have sparked a couple of questions. I think it has been around and we have discussed a lot, and it's great that it's great the community has had a voice and put forward a petition on that. And I know we haven't had a petition from the local bricks and mortar food businesses either, saying they don't want food vans. So am I correct in thinking that if a food truck's booked in and it's a quiet night, they just leave? They don't be there. They don't have to operate. There's no use them staying there if they're not making any business. Am I correct in that thinking?
Correct.
And so then there are those nights that it is really busy and you queued for an hour and a half to get pizza. I think they're those nights that a food van will be really suitable down there, and it provides a great opportunity. Someone let me know, a local at Kingston Beach said last week when it was that hot day that queues were down the road like going into Byron Bay. It was really busy and we need that more variety of food choices. So I think, just to comment on what Councillor Woss said, I think that food vans won't operate if there is no business. They're not going to stand there for 2 hours and sell one taco. They move and operate, and that's the beauty of food vans. It provides activation, a variety of choice, and helps local, helps a variety of people on local nights, and it even attracts people down there to the area to attend the bricks and mortar businesses as well. They might get the food van, they might stay there longer, linger longer, and get an ice cream.
Thank you. Councillor Fox, and then Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm looking at this motion before us, and I don't see any sunset clause or what the time limit might be on the decision that we're about to make, whether it's for a trial period or 1 year or 2 years. I was just wondering what the staff envisage.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. As is all the discussions associated with this matter there, it's bound by the policy itself there. So the policy has a time limit. I think it's a three-year policy from memory. So 2 or 3 years. So this will be up for discussion at that point as well, as would all the other things within the policy or associated with the policy.
So... And also, I guess we're talking about 3 days per calendar year per vendor, but this doesn't mean that the site could be occupied 7 days a week, 12 months of the year. Is that right?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Under the current policy, it could be 7 days a week, 12 months of the year. Under this policy, it could be 7 days a week, 12 months of the year. It just allows a particular operator to be down there a little bit longer each week. Rather than just 1 day a week, it's 3 days a week.
And I'm a bit confused because I thought I understood that it's gone from 2 days to 3 days, but it was moved. It was originally three, it moved to two, and now it's gone back to three. But I thought originally we moved it to 1 day and then it's moved back to three. I'm just not sure which is the reality.
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. So the latest endorsed policy from Council is for 1 day a week of trading. This petition talks about moving it back to the original, which is 3 days of trading, and that's what Council are actually discussing at the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a lot of sympathy for Councillor Woss's arguments, but I also accept that I have well and truly lost the war on this matter, and I don't see this resolution as markedly changing the position from our previous policy, but for the fact that we're going to let individual operators operate for 3 days rather than one. And so on that basis, I'm happy to support it, knowing that I've well and truly lost the food truck at Kingston Beach battle. The one thing that I will say, though, is this. There was a comment about the fact that retailers and people opposed to food trucks haven't had their own petition. I
just caution for what it is worth, that I don't think we are here necessarily always to make decisions for the loudest and for the greatest number of petitioners. I think we're here to make the right decisions, not necessarily the decisions that we get shouted at loudest about. So that's the only thing that I will add in addition to my support for the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And, thank you to Councillor Street for that very measured and reasonable position. I think that's right, that we, as, you know, representatives in the community, it's a very privileged position that we're in, and so we obviously have to make decisions that are in the best interests rather than just that are catering to, you know, whoever was the last person to advocate. What has convinced me to support this motion is that it does actually strike what I consider to be a balance. So there's obviously these competing interests that exist here where we obviously want to support our bricks and mortar. We know that they have contributed an enormous amount to what makes that area so vibrant. In addition to the beautiful natural assets that we have, we've got these terrific terrific outlets that work really hard, they employ people, and we owe them an enormous debt of gratitude. And so we can show that through our patronage of those bricks and mortar stores, and we can also support them. But this is also about giving extra options and extra choice, and I think Councillor Mitchell made a very good point about that, that there are occasions where that area, and this is a good problem to have, that area is so busy because it's so beautiful and it's so enjoyable and it's great for families. So we need to be able to cater to a growing community. So I think that this is a balance that is struck. I am really pleased that there'll be no impact on those trees. I think finding that potential food truck trading space that's marked in blue in the council agenda there, I think that is a good solution, and I look forward to hearing more about that. I think it's also worth noting that on receipt of the petition, so the council officers, to their credit, went out and asked, after receiving this 578 signature petition, they then went out with an online survey presented to all the people who had been a Kingborough food truck holder, a licence holder in the past, as well as contacted 8 of the fixed premises food businesses in the Kingston Beach area, inviting written feedback. And it's worth noting that, you know, 4 of those 8 provided comments. So it wasn't exactly a ubiquitous view. You know, it wasn't like 8 out of 8 fixed premises there were up in arms against it. I think, you know, we're constantly trying to strike a balance, and I'm confident that on this occasion we're striking the right balance, and I think I really look forward to the extra variety and choice that will be offered. I think we need to make sure that as we go forward, it's worth noting there that the provision of we're going to have to be looking at recycling on the beachfront, and we're going to have to look at waste management as well. And it's really important, of course, and credit to Councillor Midgley for really pushing, making sure that we have biodegradable and removing single-use plastics as well. So I think all in all, I'm confident that we're finding the right balance on this occasion, and it's one of these iterative processes where we'll see how it goes, and we are a responsive council, we're an adaptable council, and we keep our ears open to the community. So, let us know what you think. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Councillor Cordova. And then I've got Councillor Gladewright and then Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. I just want to really thank council staff for responding so amazingly to not only the petition but also going out and actively finding out what the retailers were thinking as well. It's really great that such a broad consultation has been conducted. I do acknowledge that there are those retailers there that are objecting to this, but I think it's important to remember that we're not actually discussing here whether or not we're going to have food trucks there. We're just simply discussing whether it's going to change from one day trading day to 3 trading days, which means that, in fact, it doesn't really affect the retailers at all, because there would have been a food truck there anyway. It's just whether or not it's the same food truck. It's also really good to see at 4.73, it says here that this will be reviewed dependent on site demand. So I think originally that recommendation to change it to the one trading day was to make it fairer for the food vans. So it's really good to see that that's been put in there, so that if suddenly there is an influx in the amount of food vans that we have that we can respond then and maybe relook at this policy. But at the moment, it seems like that's not the case. And then also at 6.1, talking about the public waste and recycling bins, that's a brilliant idea and I really hope and encourage the council to have some forward thinking and to think about the FOGO bins there as well, considering that from the from January we're bringing in the single-use plastics. So I definitely support this. I do acknowledge the retailers, but I think the 578 signatures is really coming through very strong and it's great that we're responding to that.
Thank you. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. I just have one question. If a food truck books, let's say we're allowing them to book 3 weeks in advance and they book the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they decide not to come, is there some way that we are able to penalise them within the booking system so that this doesn't happen again, so they can't just bag a spot and then not turn up?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. Look, it's a difficult one. I mean, certainly it will be an active booking system there, so if someone decides that they don't want to use that booking there, they can cancel that booking online there and therefore someone else can utilise that space. But it would depend on whether or not they did that at the last minute or you know, what sort of timing there was associated with that as well. We all understand there's reasons why sometimes people have to cancel doing something. It could be lots of reasons, could be weather dependent, could be sickness, could be lots of other reasons if you like. We will certainly be keeping a close eye on whether we have any instances of people booking a space and then not utilising the space there, because that takes away from the whole point of actually having a booking system in the first instance. So that will be monitored very carefully. I can only reiterate what we've actually heard from a very similar system in Devonport there, that the food truck operators actually work very well with each other in terms of that booking system there, and I believe that's been in place for a little while and they haven't had any issues there. So we'll continue to monitor it as when we put it in place there, and if we need to, we can certainly talk individually with food truck operators that may or may not be utilising spaces, or even say that there's a temporary ban on them using the space if they're continuing to misuse the space, because it flies in face of what we're trying to achieve.
Thank you. If there are no further contributions, just before I ask the Deputy Mayor to sum up as the mover, I just wanted to thank Council staff for the work that they have done on this. It's certainly been, as Councillor Westwood mentioned when she moved the motion, this is a far more complex policy than you could possibly imagine. And I know that we've had lengthy debates on this. It's not a simple one, but I think, as others have said around the table today, it certainly has struck a good balance between respecting our permanent restaurant and cafe owners in these precincts, but also then allowing the community the choices that they desire, because we know that food trucks are very popular. So thank you, Mr. Reeve, for working through this on numerous occasions now. I appreciate the work on that. I'll hand over to the Deputy Mayor to sum up.
Thank you, Mayor. I do have a few notes here in summary. Top of my list was to correct myself. Councillor Fox, you are correct. It was one. It was three, changed to one, and now we're proposing to move back to three. So one, not two. I also wanted to express support for the $2,000 as part of the capital expenditure program that Council will be reviewing in the upcoming budget process. As part of that, in response to Councillor Cordova's inquiry about the number of food vans that would fit in that space, the policy at the moment only approves for one food truck, so there is a site limit of one at the moment on Osborne Esplanade. Also to note, though, that Osborne Esplanade is just one of the pre-approved trading locations that with the one we're dealing with tonight. There are two food trucks permitted at Christopher Johnson Park, which is down near Dog Beach. In terms of future proofing, I would support Councillor Cordova's suggestion that, if possible, maybe council staff consider making the space big enough for two vans if possible, particularly if we come to review the policy in future, as mentioned under 4.7.3, according to demand. I guess also just to point out that there is a maximum of 4 hours per day per van trading limit, and at Kingston Beach, Osborne Esplanade, the trading hours are 9 a.m. till 6 p.m. At a number of other sites, pre-approved trading locations, the food vans can trade until 9 p.m. So I also think this is a really good balance, as best as we possibly can, between supporting our bricks and mortar businesses that do bring a wonderful vibe to Kingston Beach. I have had some conversations myself with businesses who are opposed to food vans down there, but also acknowledging that there are some businesses who don't have such an issue with them. One more point. Waste management, yes. If we could consider more recycling bins, that would be really good, because last summer the bins were overflowing and they had to be have extra cleans, extra emptying assigned to them. Pedestrian crossing, there is a new pedestrian crossing outside the toilet block where people can safely cross. It's a beautiful pedestrian crossing. As far as having a pedestrian crossing right where the food van location is proposed, we currently don't have a pedestrian crossing for people to cross to access food vans, so it's not like we're moving anything. I think this is a compromise. One of the things that was raised with me by the businesses was the fact that when we required food vans to park in designated parking spots, they did take up a number of parks that could otherwise have been used by visitors to the beach or people who were frequenting the bricks and mortar businesses. So I think by having a reserved food truck space, we do in some way ease the concerns of some of the bricks and mortar businesses, and I ask my colleagues to support the recommendation as we have before us.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. I will put the motion now as printed in the agenda and on the screen. It was moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Glade-Wright. All those in favour? Against? A show of hands is required. All those in favour? This Councillors Cordova, Midgley, Glade-Wright, Fox, Street, Bastone, Westwood and Reet, and those against, Councillors Grace and Wass. The motion is carried. We move now to page 12, to a report headed Community Services and Youth, with a recommendation on page 15. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved in Councillor Midgley's second.
Page 12, is it?
I said page 12, yeah. Sorry, did I say with a recommendation on page 15?
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Sorry? Yes, okay. Thank you, sorry. It's whatever if you just put your light on, it doesn't necessarily mean that you want to move the motion, so if you wave, she's very good at waving her arms around. Moved Councillor Midgley, seconded Councillor Glade-Wright. Councillor Midgley, then I'll go to Councillor Glade-Wright.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to share the enthusiasm.
Great.
It is great. Hopefully it progresses throughout the meeting. So just noting that the report has come to us a couple of months ago. There was a lot of talk on social media regarding what are we doing about young people in Kingborough, and that's really positive because often young people and children are the hidden voices in the decisions that sometimes we make around our municipality. And there's also been a change in the youth services from the move from Y Space to the Hub, and there would have a lot of discussion around that. So this report, thank you, Dr. Stevenson, provides a good history and context of the youth strategy, the change from Y Space to the current youth programs and the future youth programs. So as councillors, we can all understand where the youth programs are going, and so we don't forget about what we're doing for young people, and we can talk to local young people and families and schools about the positive things that council is doing. I note that it states there's been a lot of engagement as well with young people, so we can really clearly see that their voices are being heard in moving forwards with this new vision and how that incorporates with the youth strategy, and also the revitalisation of the YAC and the programs that they're doing there, noticing a few different interesting discussions that they're having on social media, and also noting as well that in our community services that we do have a low number of staff who are doing a really great job. And the Kingston Park is really providing a great space and revitalisation as well for young people to spend time in. And we do know that young people like to hang out in public places. As a mum of a now teenager, that's just something, you know, that you just got to get used to. It's what they do. And it's great that we've provided a great place for them to be. I have just a couple of questions in regards to engaging and how we're engaging with young people. It's a bit of a personal thing I do in my other job. What social media platforms are we using to promote the youth activities, and how do we report back to young people? So that providing that full spectrum of community engagement protocols, I guess, around we hear the voices of young people, how do then we report to them and acknowledge and let them know that we've heard their voices and these are some of the things that we're doing. But also further in that point is we have this youth strategy that looks very great for councillors to read, but how can we ensure that that youth strategy also has a youth voice embedded into that, and how we can make it perhaps in the future friendly for young people? So there's a few little things in that one.
There are many questions in that one question, but Dr. Stevenson will do her best.
Thank you. I'm trying to... I should have been writing notes. But in terms of how do we continue to hear the voices of young people, well, the Youth Action Network, the drop-ins, and the surveys and so forth continue. So I think... you know, that opportunity is continuous within the remit of the program. In terms of social media, well, council does not have, for example, a YouTube account other than for broadcasting this. So it's largely Facebook, because that's what we can resource, with a bit of Instagram, which the community services team do, but you may have seen things like little videos popping up that our media and communications advisor has been producing for YouthLink. So we're trying to engage through our social media platforms in a different way. What we don't have is the ability to do targeted advertising, so that it only appears in the feeds of, you know, 12 to 24 year olds. So that's beyond our capacity at this time. In terms of closing the loop on engagement, we are limited. We don't have a dedicated engagement resource at the moment, and even if we did, in the terms of the IOP2 principles, we're always going to be at the front end, the information sharing and engaging, but not at the empowerment end. It's very hard to do without significant resource investment. But YouthLink, again, that's part of what that's about. That's about inviting young people to bring their ideas, run their own forums, and come up with their own solutions. And we just have to be a bit opportunistic. We do look for grant funding to help us with some of those things. But on a pragmatic level, we're never going to be where I would love to see all of our community engagement activities, because we simply don't have the resourcing capacity, and that's just a reality. So we do a horses for courses approach, and we might pick particular issues to go a bit further with or close the loop on. I think your point about how do we present our youth strategy in a different way is a great one. Youth strategy was developed before I started at council, but it is an action to review it this year and see how we're tracking, and as part of that, be happy to take on board thinking about how we communicate about it to young people in a different way. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Gladwright.
Thank you. Yes, I've definitely received a lot of emails and had quite a few discussions with people in the community about things to do in our municipality for our young adults, and so it's fantastic to have this overview, because it's something that I can refer to. Something that keeps coming up in those discussions, and I think you're aware I keep forwarding you these types of emails, is people are a little bit disappointed in the lack of things for the young adults to do in that Kingston Park area. I'm not sure if in the surveys or in the Youth Think programs, anything around those sorts of concepts can be brought in to the discussions at all? I know we've had some discussions.
Through you, Mayor. Yeah. It didn't actually feature terribly highly in the survey results that we did at Kingston Park, but we certainly are keeping a track of it. The difficulty is the park is sort of still under warranty, so to speak, and so anything that we want to do, we have to wait until we're out of that maintenance period. We also have to find the funding for it. So it's not that we're not hearing them. We're certainly keeping a record and feeding those sorts of ideas through to the Kingston Park team. But ultimately, it's going to become a capital issue for council to consider because they all come at a cost.
I'm just wondering if the question was asked specifically about that.
They were asked in the face-to-face interviews that were done with young people in the park. There were two aspects. One was about had they had any experience of antisocial behaviour and what did that look like, and actually that was very low in the reporting. And the other one was their ideas to how to make the park more youth-friendly. And there have been some ideas. Some will be totally dependent on grant funding because they're quite big in their scope. We've been able to activate some of them in the drop-ins, things like putting the portable table tennis out when we have mission there and those sorts of things. So some we can activate on a small scale and others will be dependent on a capital program.
And another thing that was raised quite a lot was access to the Blacktons Bay skate park is quite difficult. Like in the school holidays, there's no direct buses or things like that. So I wonder if, you know, a free bus on the weekends to the skate park has been considered or anything like that. I might be getting off topic here.
Yeah, it's certainly not anything that's come through our surveys or to me. And again, that would have to be a budget bid. It doesn't, you know, it's not something that we have funding that we can just magically do.
Thank you. Councillor Gladright. Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, you may remember some years back as Minister of Education, you came down and spoke to the Youth Council on several issues. Those days, the Youth Council was set up from the main high schools. They met here in the chambers monthly and forwarded quite significant information to council. But unfortunately, it ceased because of money. Council didn't want to provide the funds. I have a lot of literature on that, as I was chair of that committee for several years, I think. But diversity today is different than what it was 5 years ago. We have problems in our little area with youth, kongdongs, needles, tablets, vandalism within our area at Snow. Drugs is the big issue, and I mentioned that to the existing Mayor Winter, and I believe now I haven't seen much evidence in the last 4, 5, 6 months. But we go back to youth, and if you want youth to work, and this is my own opinion, and I strongly believe, because I was the actually one that introduced Youth Council, but unfortunately the year I did it, I didn't get elected, but a friend of mine, Peter Lindsay, undertook it and got the whole thing moving. So I think, basically, Mayor, maybe we should sit I believe council sometimes should sit as a workshop and speak about openly, like I've just done tonight. I'm not proud to sit here tonight and say Kong Dongs are left up at the shop under the seats, and there's activities down under the bridge and all that sort of stuff. But we are a growing municipality. I mean, when I was a kid at 13 or 14, if I wasn't home by 9 o'clock, man, I wouldn't walk the next day. But all these things have changed. So back to the... And again, Mayor, we haven't got the resources. And we talk about... a favourite subject of mine is the LGBT... whatever you call it, whatever. We have problems within our municipality with young people that would like privately to come forward, not in such a manner as, how can I say it, we should have a liaison officer or somebody that they can talk to, boys, girls, whatever. You know, but that's my view. I think we've come, but we stopped in a lot of ways because the diversity of our municipality has grown such, and there are so many different nationalities in within our community that we need really to get hold to and learn their culture, I guess. I mean, look, I could talk about this, and as I said, Mayor, one day, I guess it'd be nice to sit down and just have a workshop and talk about, to give our staff some sort of an idea what we see in our areas, whether you believe it or not, but it's all good. Hobart City Council did exactly what we did. Only a few weeks ago, I brought the youth in and they did a full council meeting with the mayoral bells and whistles and stuff, and they achieved an awful lot. I'm going to finish because also with our youth council and Bruny Island Primary School, council used that in their annual general report to the community.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor.
Cordova.
Just to pick up on something in this report, Youth Action Kingbra, YAC, a group of young people surveyed 150 of their peers to build their understanding of key issues of concern to Kingbra's young people, and the top three issues, in order of importance, were number one, mental health services, number two, a clean, healthy environment, and number three, public transport. I'd just like to put it on record. As per the report, there are no providers currently situated in Kingbra to provide mental health services to our youth, and I think that's a great shame.
Question to that, Mayor. That goes back to even when we first had Youth Council. They are at least two of the questions that were raised 15 years ago.
Councillor Grace, thank you. Councillor Cordova, and then, yes, Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And firstly, I want to thank the six staff in the community services team for their hard work. And it's such an important area, and I think one of the reasons why it's not given the appropriate resourcing, I mean not just in a council sense, but at state and federal government as well, is that young people aren't given the vote, and I think we should be lowering the voting age to make sure that young people get the chance to elect the officials that they want, that they actually have true representation. So let me take this opportunity to advocate for lowering the voting age. I also think that the council has an enormously important role to play when it comes to providing youth services, but also that there are a lot of players involved in this game. And so, obviously, it's worth noting the good work of the neighbourhood houses, the Link, service clubs, sporting clubs, Relationships Australia, Anglicare Mission, State Government Services. There's so many that contribute, and they do a good job, and we need to work with them in partnership, as I believe that we do. I support Councillor Grace's discussion about a youth council. I certainly participated in a youth parliament when I was a young person. I think there might be somebody in this room who did as well. I'm not sure whether they want to admit that. Maybe they do. Councillor Street, terrific colleague, a youth parliamentarian colleague a while ago now. This is really important to encourage engagement. And I think what's really telling about this report and something that I do want to touch on is the fact that there is, and I'm reading here from page 13 now, there is often a disconnect between what we hear from parents versus young people. Young people don't want formalised spaces overseen by adults. They want to be able to access a wide range of spaces without disapproval. And that's exactly what I think Councillor Westwood was getting at, that in the mental health, in the survey that was conducted by YAC, the three things that came up out of that survey of 150 people were, number one, mental health service provision. Number two, clean and healthy environment. And number three, public transport. So this is where I'd like to take that opportunity to say that Kingborough is calling out for, is in desperate need of mental health services and provision. And the reason why having a clean and healthy environment is important is that young people, and people of all ages, in fact, and myself included in this, by having a clean and healthy environment, that is so important for ameliorating some of the anxiety that I think we're all feeling in these troubled times. It is important that the local environment that we have is not constantly under threat. I mean, the amount of anxiety that it causes me, knowing that we're constantly having to battle against threats to our environment that are going to see the extinction of the swift parrot and 40-spotted pardalote, we need to be doing everything that we can to listen to young people when they say they want mental health services, they want a clean and healthy environment, and they want better public transport. I think we also need to use the information that's within our strategy. I'd like to talk about what we're going to do with the next strategy in terms of broadening our horizon, advocating for ending the war on drugs that's criminalising young people for no good reason, getting a youth job guarantee. I mean, this is a really important fact, that if we spent the same amount of money that we do on turf maintenance in this municipality, if we spent $1.3 million per year on young people instead of on turf maintenance, we'd be able to give a job guarantee to young people to work for the council for up to 10 weeks of work experience per year, up to 25 hours per week. And where I get those figures is based on, we were told a couple of years ago based on the ABS 2016 survey, that there's 500 young people not in education, employment or training in Kingborough. So these are 500 young people who, if we actually spent the same amount of money that we do on grass, if we spent that on engaging young people, giving them work experience, working for the council in any number of capacities, current roles that are currently volunteer roles, we could actually pay young people to get work experience. This is what we should be talking about when it comes to our next youth strategy, is bringing back a youth council, bringing back young people leading the conversation rather than us older ones telling them what we think that it is that they want. I really think that evolution of the way that people use and access services is worth noting, and I appreciate that that's been written in the report, but I just think that we need to focus on providing adequate resourcing and adequate time for young people to be themselves, hang out with the people that they care about, and utilise the great things that Kingborough has. And that's why it's critically important that we protect our natural environment, critically important that we maintain good facilities, critically important that we advocate for mental health service provision, clean, healthy environment and public transport. Finally, I'd just like to once again reiterate that the staff do a terrific job, and this is an ongoing level of engagement that needs to take place. We need to continue this conversation and we need to fund it accordingly. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Are there any further speakers? I just wanted to say a couple of words. You've got a question, Councillor Midgley.
I do, Mayor. Thank you. And just a question in regards to something Councillor Grace said. Am I correct that reading on page 14, Dr Stevenson has noted that once our engagement officer is recruited, we'll be undertaking some work with the LGBTQTI plus community, including young people within that community? Just checking that I am correct in reading that will be something that we will be working on to ensure that a wide range of young voices are included as part of our community.
Yes, that's correct, Councillor Midgley. Thank you.
Thank you. Just before I ask Councillor Midgley to sum up, look, I thank Dr Stevenson for this report. It builds very much on the report that we had at the annual general meeting where we had I thought an excellent presentation about the breadth of the services that are provided by our community development team, And I feel quite fortunate that in the time that I've been mayor that I've had a lot of interaction with them across the whole breadth of the activities that they undertake. And they are only a small team and they are spread around a number of areas, of which youth is one. But I feel very proud of the services that we do provide, and I think that we do need to recognise that there is a limit to what we can provide as council, and I think that we do it very well. I think one of the things that has changed perhaps in the last 10 to 20 years is that rather than it being led by us as councillors, and you know, none of us unfortunately fit into that youth category anymore, but that the feedback and the driving of what should happen is being done by the young people themselves through things like mechanisms like the survey and so on. And I think that's really important. So rather than us wanting to gather the young people in here and telling them what we think should happen, they're telling us what they think should happen. And as Councillor Westwood pointed out, and others have, you know, there are top three things that they have indicated to us. So thank you for the report, and I'll hand over to Councillor Midgley to sum up.
Thank you, Mayor. Thanks everyone for your contribution. I really think that one of the standout comments is around the lack of mental health services for young people in Kingborough, and as we know, unfortunately, it is increasing, so it would be good to see if we can move forward and progress some mental health services for young people in Kingborough in the future. But thank you very much for the report.
Thank you. The recommendation is that Council note the report on Council services and activities for young people in Kingborough. The motion was moved by Councillor Midgley, seconded by Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move on now to page 16, Annual General Meeting Notice of Motion in relation to the inclusion of an additional clause in the long-term financial plan and annual budget, with a recommendation on page 17. Do I have a mover and a seconder? Moved by Councillor Gladewright, seconded by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Gladewright.
Thank you. The purpose of this agenda item is that this report responds to a notice of motion that was moved and carried at Council's annual general meeting on 4th of December. The motion was successfully moved and carried, and the motion was that Council consider the direction in the strategic plan, the community are at the heart of everything we do, be reflected in future long-term financial plans and annual budget documentation by incorporating an additional clause, which is, it is important to balance rate revenue as a funding source with community sensitivity to rate increases, including rate affordability within the general community and the level of service required by the community. The sentiment of this motion I wholeheartedly support. It's also noted that the Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Breen, has suggested to add a few more words at the end of the motion to read, and maintaining Council's financial stability. So the sustainability. What did I say? Sorry, sustainability. So the recommendation reflects that suggestion there. So I'm hoping that I can get some support for the motion.
Yep. Thank you, Councillor Gladewright. Any further speakers? No. Councillor Fox?
I do support the motion because, as I note in the report, we already do. So it's good to put it in writing. Thank you.
Thank you. If there are no further speakers, you don't want to sum up, I assume, then. I will put the motion as printed on the screen, that Council supports the inclusion of the following clause in both the long-term financial plan and the annual budget. Quote, it is important to balance rates revenue as a funding source with community sensitivity to rate increases, including rates affordability with the general community, the level of service required by the community and Council's financial sustainability. Moved by Councillor Gladewright, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour? Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to a further Council Annual General Meeting motion on page 18 with a recommendation on page 18.
So moved.
Moved by Councillor Cordova. Do I have a seconder for the motion? Seconded by Councillor Midgley. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. At the Council's annual general meeting on the 4th of December, the following motion was carried. On behalf of Rainbow Communities Tasmania Incorporated and the Kingston Chapter, I wish to move a motion of sincere thanks to the two LGBTIQ plus liaison councillors, Councillor David Grace and former Councillor Michelle Higgins, and their families who gave and continue to give our community so much support. And the recommendation here is that the report be noted. A quick question is whether or not there's a mechanism within this motion to notify former Councillor Higgins of that annual general meeting motion from the floor, or whether that's an expectation that Rainbow Communities Tasmania will contact.
The motion is as printed and as was presented at the and passed at the annual general meeting. It was only that. That it be noted as such, that the fact there was no action associated with the motion, so we don't have the power to change that, given we have to consider the motion that was put to the annual general meeting. So the onus would now be back on Rainbow Communities Tasmania to undertake notification.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me take the opportunity to share my congratulations to my colleague, Councillor Grace, and former Councillor Michelle Higgins. And I think the annual general meetings are really good opportunities for members of the community to get involved, to come along and have their say. And it's a really good opportunity for engagement. So I strongly encourage members of the community to come along to next year's annual general meeting as well. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. I will support this if the councillor sitting at the table, who's mentioned in this motion, can explain or even say what LGBTI means. Because 5 minutes ago, that councillor tried to say the acronym, couldn't say the acronym, and then referred to it as whatever you call it. So if you are able to say the acronym, could you please prove that you actually know what each of those individual letters means? Because that community is an important part of our community, of our municipality. And I would like you to demonstrate that you actually know who you are representing as part of our community councillor. And you know, while you're at it, do you want to explain what a gender pronoun is?
Point of
or
order,
any of the
Mayor.
Other issues?
Point of order.
I know it's you guys.
Councillor Grace is not the mover of this motion, no. And he shouldn't have a personal attack upon him.
No, thank you, Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Councillor Watts.
I know I was going to call a point of order.
Okay, hang on.
On the same fact.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Have you finished your contribution? Any further speakers? Councillor Watts, your light is still on.
Sorry.
Yep. Councillor Grace, did you want to make a contribution?
Only that I would say, Mayor, the sooner I get out of this council, the better. I get frustrated with the comments. I make comments, but I can instantiate my comments. I can instantiate the question the Deputy Mayor asked me. But she's been on council long enough now, and again I'll get called point of order because I'm not going to get into a slinging match. But I believe that this council, this Kingborough Council, has done so much for that group of, well, I can go on, sexual, all the other males or females and males converted to ladies, all that sort of stuff. When I was appointed chair of that committee in this council, we had somewhere around about 15 to 20 people committing suicide throughout Tasmania. And the biggest part of it was, I understand, was down the Huon Valley, where these people could, and particularly the young people, could not face their parents. And thank you so much to Julian Punch and all those others that were in that committee. Mayor, maybe the General Manager may be able to get a photo out in 2005, Councillor Watts, was it? We had the big meeting in the chambers with all those different sects, communities, I think Rodney Groom, and there was heaps, the whole chambers was chock-a-block full. Then Mr. Punch was asked to go and address the LGAT. And since then, everybody has come on board with it. They're an important part of our life. Those people, that they're human, they're like us. And I certainly, Madam Mayor, I can tell you now, Councillor Westwood, I got spat at from church people in our municipality that did not agree with what this council was undertaking. That is now far, far behind my mind because of the success we've had with it, and Hobart's taken it on, and all other people. I don't know what else to say. I'm not a crying person there. I've never cried. If you run over me with a bulldozer, I don't think I'd ever cry. But I can tell you now, even Councillor Michelle Higgins, Michelle was a straight shooter. Very, very, and I don't think anyone would have a bad word about Michelle. And her and I got together when she was chair, and we supported one another with the whole episode of this. Michelle did it for 4 or 5 years, and it was long hours too, by the way. We were sitting in this chambers out the back until midnight with a committee. And when she resigned, I took it over, did I, Floor, or Councillor Fox, or was she? Or was I the first one? She was the first one, and I can tell you now, she brought a lot of stuff to this table, and she was the hero of that group. By the way, Mayor, there's a photo in the Mercury in 2005 with all these people sitting around the table that I did bring into our general manager today, Mr. Arnold, that was put up on file. Maybe we should get it out and let the people have a look, our colleagues have a look at that. I can't really say much more. Really, you got me stunned.
That's good, because unfortunately your time has expired.
Oh, thank goodness.
You don't have to fill it up. Thank you. Councillor Midgley.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to make a quick note that Dr. Stevenson and myself have met a couple of times with Rainbow Community Tasmania to progress similar to what was noted in the youth strategy, and I look forward to when the Community Engagement Officer starts that will progress. I did hear Councillor Gray saying that hasn't happened yet, and it hasn't happened yet because we still do not have the appointment of a Community Engagement Officer. But I do note that Dr. Stevenson has that very, very high on her priority list to progress and to engage, because it is an area that we do need to have continuous conversation and ensure that we are an inclusive workplace and ensure we are an inclusive Kingborough community.
Thank you, Councillor Midgley.
I just asked a question. We did save lives in the first 2 years.
Question? Don't tempt it. Nice try, though. Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up? There's a limit to my Christmas spirit. No summing up. Thank you. The question is that the report be noticed. It is moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Midgley. All those in favour? Against? A show of hands is required. All those in favour? Councillors Grace, Cordova, Woss, Midgley, Gladewright, Fox, Street, Bastone and Reet. Those against? Councillor Westwood. We move now to page 19, remission of minimum general rate difference policy. with a recommendation on page 20. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Oh, Councillor Street, your enthusiasm. And seconded by Councillor Fox. Councillor Street.
I can't even begin to tell you. This is a very short policy, Mayor. It's one that we've had in place for a few years, since 2018. Essentially, making sure that where a piece of land only has things like a boat shed, a jetty, a ramp or a similar structure for access to water on them, that we're not charging the minimum general rate on that land. It's good policy. It's served us well a couple of times, but it has been superseded by the fact that when we do our rate resolution for each year, we basically include a section which replicates the policy. We do that every year. The policy is only reviewed every 3 years on the basis that it seems we're going to continue to do that as part of the rate resolution every year. There's not a whole lot of point to the policy, and so we're going to revoke it, which I think is a good thing, cutting down on the number of policies that we have if we don't need them can only be a good thing. And as I said, we review it every year, so in actual fact, ratepayers are getting more review bang for their buck, as it were.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Any further contributions? Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. And I support Councillor Street's explanation there. I thought that was is eminently reasonable logic. My question is just, if this was a duplicate of the rate resolution and therefore redundant, is there some explanation about when the policy was enacted in February 2019, why it wasn't removed then? I mean, what's changed between then and now?
Mr. Breen.
Yes, through you, Mayor. Essentially, the policy, as Councillor Street indicated, has been allowing us to charge rates below the minimum level for those particular blocks of land. When we introduced the stormwater levy, we went down a different path, and that's where we used the rate resolution to allow for that reduction below the minimum level. We didn't do this. We haven't done the same yet for the land. There's a small box of land, but the intention is the next rate resolution that we do, we will do it for both stormwater and the land. So it's really just it's not in place yet, but it will be at the next rate resolution.
Thank you.
Right, no further speakers. Councillor Street, I assume you don't want us to sum up. In that case, I'll put the motion as printed on the screen. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We now go to page 22, rate rebate for conservation covenant, with a recommendation on page 23. There is a typo in the recommendation. Now, it should say that Council Policy 3.9 rate rebate for not the conservative covenant policy. That would be something entirely different. So we'll just change that to the conservation covenant policy, and then all will be in order. That is the motion as now printed on the screen. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved Councillor Fox, seconded Councillor Cordova. Councillor Fox.
Yes, I think this is a very good scheme. It's an incentive for people to recognise the values on their property, and then that council then gives them an actual financial incentive to look after those properties, for example, threatened species, habitat or other values that we recognise as being important in our community. And I think it's a very worthwhile thing to be doing. There is actually a financial description on page 24 where the rebate is $6 per hectare per annum in relation to the land area, which is subject to the covenant, and it will be of a minimum annual value of $100 and a maximum value of less or $600 or three quarters of the general rate. Whichever is the lesser. So it's not a huge amount of money that council is sacrificing, but it does mean a lot to those people. They can then build maybe fences, or they can have other means of protecting those environments and not using them for grazing or for farming or other things, or just not cut down the trees. So I think it's very commendable and worthwhile continuing. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova, and then Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. Another element, albeit a small one, in our armamentarium of for protecting the natural environment in Kingborough, and very important that is for so many different reasons, but particularly in light of anthropogenic climate change and what's happening with the Thwaites Glacier, for example. I mean, everything that we can do right now in Kingborough to mitigate climate change and to take meaningful climate action, we should be doing it. But of course, it can't just stop with these kinds of actions, and that's why I'm so pleased that we now are a council that's striving to net zero emissions by 2035. I just noticed in 4.1, Mayor, I'm waiting for you to pick it up, but it says a rebate of the general rate that would otherwise buy payable will be granted subject to the following. So a little typo there to change that to be payable. Thanks very much, Mayor. That's all.
Thank you. Councillor Bastow. Oh, sorry, beg your pardon. Councillor Grace, then Councillor Bastow.
I've only just got the one question. Once they agree to lock the property up for environmental protection, I'm told that they're not allowed to pick up sticks or clear vegetation or any of that stuff for fire protection. Is that right or wrong?
Who would be best placed to answer this? She says, looking towards Dr. Stevenson. No.
Take it on notice. And
looks like pass the parcel happening here. Yep, Dr. Stevenson, are you aware of this? Under a conservation covenant, if it applies, are the landowners able to do any clearing for fire hazard, fire reduction? Thank you. We'll take that one on notice. Councillor Bastow.
Thank you, Mayor. This is just a point, and I know this is the way they're always set out with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. But number 6, environment. I think it's a bit sad this time that says this policy has no impact on the environment, because in fact it does have a good impact on the environment. That's one of the reasons we're doing it.
Thank you for that. That's it's a fair point. I think it was written from a finance perspective. Sorry, Mr. Breen, but I'm just going to have to dump you in that one. In the spirit of Christmas, I didn't want to have to do that. I actually had a couple of questions about it, and what struck me initially was that I just wondered, given that there was no change between the previous version and this version, is how long have the values assigned in 4.2 and 4.3 in terms of the rates rebate have been set at that level? Because I would have thought we would incrementally increase them to sort of keep pace with things, but if there's been no change between, I mean, this was a two-year-old policy, can you recall the last time that they were changed, Mr. Breen?
Through you, Mayor. It certainly hasn't changed in my time here on council, so it would be 6 or 7 years that they've been the same.
So why, I guess, I don't know how else to put that. Why haven't we then, as the policy is reviewed, reviewed the rebates that will be applicable so that it is continuing to be an equivalent level of incentive for people to have covenants on their property and to then receive a rebate? Because otherwise, if it hasn't changed, it's out of step with proportionally.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Look, I guess essentially all I can say is that from a financial perspective, we're trying to minimise the cost of these covenants, which we certainly get reasonable demand for them, so we are returning some funds to the community, but certainly happy to have another look at it if you feel that it's, if council feels it's not appropriate.
So could you just give an indication of how many covenants we currently have?
No, through you, Mayor, I'm not aware of the total number, but I know there are quite a few.
Roughly, ballpark, anyone? Bueller? No. Having said that, I would actually prefer if we did not adopt this tonight and that we deferred it so that we can get a better handle on how many and whether there is the opportunity to review the levels of rebates that are provided to members of the community, because I feel like all we've done is just sort of said, oh, well, let's put this through as an update. I'd like us to have a more thorough look at this, look at the numbers of covenant applications that we're getting.
I'd support that, because then that would cover the question that I raised too in the next report.
So I'm not sure how to do this from the chair now. Could somebody else move that?
Well, I'll move that.
You'll move it. Okay, so we've got a motion, procedural motion to defer this. Moved by Councillor Grace, seconded by Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour of deferring this policy until we've had a further look at it. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
No. Okay. Okay, that's right. Show of hands. All those in favour of deferring. Councillors Grace, Midgley, Gladewright, Fox, Bastone, Westwood and Reet. All those against. Councillor Cordova, Wass and Street. So the motion to defer is passed. So we move on now to page 26, sundry debt management policy, with a recommendation on page 27. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Street, you blinked. Do you want to move this? No, you do not. Okay.
Can I move to discuss, Mayor?
Sure, you can do that.
If there's no mover for the motion, then I'll move to discuss.
Second that.
Okay, move to discuss. Could I have all those in favour of moving to discuss? Against? Motion is carried. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, the reason that I didn't move the motion and that I've, in the absence of a mover, I've moved that it be discussed, and this is with apologies to staff, because I've only realised this afternoon and I haven't had a chance to have a discussion yet with any of you. So I'd appreciate your thoughts, albeit on the fly. The reason that I've got a problem with revoking this policy is that council's power to delegate to the general manager the writing off of any bad debts seems to me, under clause 22, subclause 2 of the Local Government Act, to be subject to council determining appropriate policies and procedures to be followed in relation to those powers. My difficulty with revoking the policy is that the policy puts in place the policies and procedures in relation to the process for collection of debts and the writing off of bad debts, and we're going to revoke it while the section of the Act says that we can only give those powers to the General Manager on the condition that Council's determined appropriate policies and procedures to be followed in relation to the powers.
Yes.
I think that's a question. I suppose the only.
Let's try Mr. Breen and see how he goes. Did you get that question, Mr. Breen? Is it in conflict, I guess, with the Local Government Act, I think, is what Councillor Street was trying to suggest?
Through you, Mayor. My reading is that it isn't, that the financial delegations will set out the General Manager's ability to determine a level, will determine the level at which the General Manager has the authority in regards to writing off bad debts. So I see that as being part of the financial delegations. the remainder of the policy is just very operational around the process. So the only sort of policy bit I could see was around that level of write-off that the general manager had authority for.
Councillor Street, how do we feel about that?
Yeah, I'm not good. No, I'm not good.
Would you like to defer this?
Yeah, I think probably best that I move to defer if there's support around the table for that. I wouldn't mind a better answer to the question. I'm sorry, Mr. Prone.
Okay, so we need a separate procedural motion now to defer the matter.
So moved.
So moved by Councillor Street, seconded Councillor Westwood. All those in favour of deferring this, say aye. Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to page 28, financial report for November 2021, with a recommendation on page 29. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Cordova. Councillor Westwood.
Thank you, Mayor. We have before us a report, the November 2021 financial report presented to Council for review. It is largely along the lines of what we've seen in previous months. There is a forecast budget underlying deficit of $500,000, which is an improvement on the position that we estimated, I guess, this time last year when we were starting to put together the 2021-22 budget, which is a really great result. But I think I've said this every month, things can change quite quickly, and certainly things are changing at the moment in the COVID space with borders opening and new strains of the virus. And so just to, I guess, temper the improved position by saying that, you know, there is still a lot of uncertainty out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Westwood. Councillor Cordova's next, yeah. Then Councillor Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. And thank you to the council officers for producing this report. And I think it speaks to the strength of the council's finances. But, of course, you know, we tread carefully in uncertain times. I do have a couple of questions. But just firstly, to the point of council's underlying surplus for the November 2021 is $18.85 million, which is a $500,000 favourable variance on the budget for 2021-22. The forecast underlying deficit has been reduced by $0.05 million to about $500,000 for the year. So my first question is that it says at the top of page 29 that other expenses are $137,000 over budget due primarily to the cost of the recent council elections, of which $87,000 was expensed to 2021-22. And then here's the important bit for me. Also, valuation costs are $14,000 over budget and insurance costs are $20,000 over budget. My first question is, can we get a bit more detail about that? But my second and probably more important question is, are we concerned about the way in which insurance is going up all over the world, is my understanding, and are we factoring that into our long-term financial plan? Are we factoring that into our day-to-day discussions, particularly with climate change? Are we concerned about where insurance costs are going?
Thank you, Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Just in regards to the first bit of your question, in regards to valuation costs, that's really just a timing difference in regards to that one. We're expecting our valuation costs, and we're doing the revaluation this year, so the timing of the cost, which will be quite substantial, was a bit unknown, so that one's just coming a little bit earlier than expected. In regards to insurance, I think you're correct in what you're saying. There is a real concern within the insurance industry at the moment about escalating insurance costs, and it will certainly need to be something that we factor into our numbers in the long-term financial plan, and particularly the budgets for the next 2 or 3 years.
Thank you, and through you, Mayor, a second question, this time about the city deal. It says in the paragraph underneath that grants capital is under budget by $108,000, and this is due to a delay in the receipt of the next a funding allocation of $2 million under the city deal. I was just wondering why the city deal funding has been delayed.
Mr. Brown.
Through you, Mayor. Essentially, it's been delayed on the basis that we are a little bit behind in our timeframes in regards to expenditure. And so my understanding is that in the early in calendar 2022, we'll be putting out our next invoice for the next $2 million. So it's really our council issue rather than anything to do with the government.
Okay. Thank you. And then my final question through you, Mayor, is at the very next line, at 4.2, it says council's cash and investments amount to $25.9 million at the end of November, which is up $12.2 million from the November 2020 figure. Borrowing of $22.3 million offset this amount. And then when we skip down to 8.1, it says there's a risk in continuing to deliver underlying deficits due to diminishing cash reserves. It's important to move to an underlying surplus as quickly as possible. My question is, aren't those two things contradictory? Because my understanding is that council's cash and investments are up, whereas in 8.1 it says there's a risk in continuing to have underlying deficits due to diminishing cash reserves.
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, through you, Mayor. Essentially, the way you have to look at it is the combined position between cash and borrowings. As councillors would be aware, we were fortunate to receive a number of interest-free loans from the government, particularly funding Kingston Park. And our aim will be to try and repay the majority of those when they mature, which will be over the next 2 or 3 years. And that will certainly reduce our cash position down to very close to minimum levels.
Thank you. And finally, to sum up, Mayor, I would just like to make the point that as we do enter more difficult times, the community will rely on us more than ever to appropriately and adequately fund our programs and to invest in the community. And by investing, that's the best way that we're going to recover. So as things are uncertain, now is more of a time than ever for council to lean in big. We do have these interest-free loans. Interest rates are at their lowest at any time in human history, and our council's position is quite favourable, thanks to good management. So now I think that as we're coming around to a budgeting period early in the new year, we should think about that fact and be mindful that right now is the time that the people in our community depend on us the most to invest in order to recover. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Grace.
Well, I got away with it so far. I might be wrong this time, Mayor, but you'll soon tell me. Employees cost us $77 million under budget.
Sorry, could you just... Where are you receiving that figure from? Page?
Sorry?
1,000.
Oh, yeah. Thousands, beg your pardon. Anyway, it's 77,000 under budget. I guess my question is that, through you, Chair, okay, we're having enterprise bargaining with our workers and we all got a note coming through the other day about the dissatisfaction that was happening within our workforce. I guess this is appropriate, and I think we should discuss it to a certain degree, even though it's an operational matter. Not only our outside staff, etc., and inside staff, it's something, Madam Chair, that we should address as councillors in a workshop while... If we can't get employees for a certain amount of money, have we got the power under the Act to allow our Treasurer or the General Manager to be able to increase those salaries? Because I guess I could ask a question on how much we spent in the last 2 years advertising for workers, but I won't bother that. That's just one question that I'd like to raise, is the fact that that, and then I have another if somebody...
I'll ask the Acting General Manager to address that, please.
Through you, Mayor, as I understand the question, does the General Manager have the power to increase staff wages? And the answer is yes. However, the General Manager is given a budget each year by council that he must balance. So the context in which he is able to provide an increase in salaries to staff is very much constrained by the budget that is set by council at the beginning of the year.
Thank you, and I understand that, and that's very good put, and that was very well put together. But what I'm saying is, Mr. Smee, in the best interest of our community, because our community are the ones that's suffering with the amount of staff, because every time we lose staff, new staff come on, they've got to start
from scratch. Point of order?
Scratch.
Relevance?
Who's that?
Relevance.
Acting Mayor, I won't pursue that, because the last thing I'd want to do right on Christmas Eve is argue with you. So that's fine. I will leave that. My second question is, we've got 18 million or something surplus. I'm, and I know Councillor Bastone may back me up, is the fact that we're getting a lot of complaints about drainage, open drainages and gully pits and so forth that are not cleaned out. The street sweeper went up my street this morning, straight past all the gully pits. The gully pits have been full of rubbish now for 3-4 months and I have them on a camera. My question is, I watched an episode on Current Affair the other night with the way the climate is going this year. With the the climate, with the rain we're getting, we're going to get more infested by mosquitoes. So we need to be mindful of that.
Point of order, relevance.
We probably do need to start to veer back to the financial report that we're considering.
Well, okay. I guess then, without being called a point of order, my question is, staff are not providing the ratepayers with the adequate services that they're paying for. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. Are there further speakers? No, otherwise, Councillor Westwood, did you want to sum up? Thank you. I'll put the motion that Council endorses the attached financial report as at the 30th of November 2021. Moved by Councillor Westwood, seconded by Councillor Cordova. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to notices of motion. On page 50, there is a notice of motion headed Smoke-Free Sports Precinct and an officer's response from Ms. Maguire. I have a mover in Councillor Cordova, a seconder in Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. So this is a motion that will advertise Council's intention to declare the Kingra Sports Precinct a smoke-free area and seek user group and community feedback before a final decision is made after the feedback period. And essentially my intention here was that after having conversations with a user group at the sports precinct, this is something that there's a will to do, that there's a user group that definitely wants this. But I think before we move ahead, it's important that we are inclusive of the 33 sports clubs that are there. But I think it kind of speaks for itself that we know about the harmful effects of smoking. We know that it will improve litter and things like that. We know that it will be probably better as a role model for people who are, particularly the thousands of young people who frequent that sports precinct. It probably sets a good example for there not to be secondhand smoke around and about the place. And particularly as we're coming into summer, as venues like to, and in a very uncertain COVID world where venues are required to maximise their ventilation, and by maximising ventilation, if there's people smoking directly outside sports precinct facilities, then you kind of have that issue where young people are, well, all people are getting exposed to secondhand smoke when they don't really want to be. So that's basically the reason for initiating this motion. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Councillor Fox?
Well, I still don't really understand the necessity for this motion, although Ms. Maguire did explain that the rules have changed around how we declare smoke-free areas. But I do recall that in 1988, when I was elected, Councillor Dr. Nigel Abbott and I moved that all buildings in Kingborough be smoke-free, and we were the first, in fact we were congratulated by the Minister of Health at the time that we were the first council in Tasmania to do so. And I would have thought that the sports precinct well and truly is a council-owned property, and not only the building but also the grounds. But I think maybe the laws have changed in some way for us to now have to advertise this again and to get community input, which I thoroughly support. It's something that I think has progressed over the decades, that the community is much more aware of the dangers of smoking and especially the influence on young people witnessing smoking and inhaling smoke. So I thoroughly support it. I just wonder why this law has been brought into place and whether anyone around the table could explain.
Oh, everyone can explain, apparently. The Acting General Manager.
Through you, Mayor. Councillor Fox, you are correct in that the legislation has changed and Council is required to go through a formal process as prescribed by that legislation. That has certainly changed since back in 1988 when Council did move that original decision to ban smoking in its buildings. We are required to go through a process, and it's suggested that given there are 33 user groups within the precinct, they're not all sporting groups, and some of those groups do have significant numbers of spectators, some of whom we know like to smoke, so it's considered prudent for council to actually undertake some consultation with the user groups within the precinct before bringing in an intent to declare the whole area smoke-free.
Thank you. Are there any further speakers on the motion? Councillor Cordova, did you want to sum up?
Thank you. Just to say, Mayor, that
sorry.
I think...
Oh, beg your pardon. Oh, sorry. Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, I just wanted to say, firstly, that I support the recommendation before us. The question I've got is, what areas at the sports centre are we talking about, knowing that every playing field is already smoke-free? To my belief, it would only be outside the sports centre itself and any other building that anyone could smoke, or the road or footpath. The rest is a no-go by state government legislation. I'd be happy to hear what Mr Smee has to respond to that.
Thank you, Mr Smee.
Through you, Mayor, so the current legislation does indeed prohibit smoking on sports fields or within 10 metres.
Within the fence.
So there are areas outside of sports fields where you can currently smoke that is outside that area. So this would declare, in essence, the whole precinct, the whole title that encompasses the precinct as being a smoke-free area, and remove any ambiguity about distance from a sports field fence.
And my next question, Mayor, is what other areas within our municipality should we be looking at? A number of years ago I suggested Kingston Beach, and I was the only one that supported that. All my colleagues around the table didn't agree with that. But what other areas should we be looking at? What other ones? Be our parks. Our parks where people go. I'm not talking children's playground, because, again, that is a place where you can't go. So why I'm asking these questions, with the officer's response, if this gets through, and hopefully it will, but I'd like to deal with one motion in future for the whole municipality, not one isolated location.
Could I just make a point of order, please?
Yeah.
I'd like it on record to say that I would not have disagreed with Councillor Wass's motion, and I don't recall it actually coming to Council, but I would know that I would never have voted against that.
Thank you. Councillor Fox, duly noted. Dr Stevenson?
I had spoken to...
Did you take your mask off?
I have spoken to our senior environmental health officer about smoke-free areas broadly, and certainly her preference would be We took a strategic overview approach. What I didn't ask her, though, is whether you could move those en masse, and I'm not sure that that is possible because of the engagement process that you have to go through for each declared area. So I don't know that it necessarily, by council approving it, we can suddenly go out and work through 50 new smoke-free areas. So I'd have to take that on notice. But certainly the concept of having a report come back to council with a proposed strategic approach to smoke-free areas is something that is supported by the Senior Environmental Health Officer, just subject to resource and capacity to undertake that work.
Thank you. Dr. Stevenson, Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. It's interesting that this comes up on a night where I was talking about the fact that we don't always make decisions for the loudest people and the people that give us the majority of the feedback, because I just want to put on record that it will not matter what the feedback on this is. It will be the right decision to make, and I will be supporting it. The Kingborough Sports Centre should absolutely be a smoke-free area, and while I accept that we are going to have a conversation with the user groups, there is nothing in mitigation that they could tell me that would change my mind on this. It should be a smoke-free area, and while I'll be grateful for the feedback, I will still be voting for it to be a smoke-free area once that community feedback process is complete.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Hope you're not saying you've got a closed mind there, but moving on. Councillor Cordova, would you like to sum up?
Thank you, Mayor. I think I slightly differ in the sense that this engagement process is critical. I think it is critical because you can't just make decrees to people and expect them to follow us, you know, Lord High in the manor up here on our high horse telling people what to do. I think you have to bring people along, and you have to do that with carrots, not with sticks. And so that's why it's the most important part of it, is actually to seek community feedback and to genuinely engage and to genuinely listen. And I think that the most important thing about all of this, and the reason why I'm cautious as well about Council was saying let's just do it carte blanche for everywhere in Kingborough, is the real matter here is about enforcement, implementation and signage. It's actually a really big resource heavy and intensive thing. Now, I've had people say we want this for the sports precinct, and so here I am responding to that community will. I haven't had that for various other areas like in parks or anything like that. It's a no-brainer that smoking's bad for you and people shouldn't be smoking, and it's a bad example to set, and it's also really bad for litter in the environment, particularly for our marine creatures. But we have to make this a process of taking the community with us and having a community conversation that is not dictatorial. I don't want to start this bracket creep immediately. In my motion about the sports precinct, I don't want to start a conversation about the entire municipality. That's a conversation for somebody else's motion. My motion is responding to a community need. And I think that we need to make sure that when we do it, it's not just writing something down and then putting it on a shelf. People need to be practically able to enforce this and implement it and sign it and educate the community appropriately so they actually know that it's not allowed in the sports precinct anymore. And so that's a big part, I think, of the community consultation process, is to let people know, hey, we're thinking of doing this, what do you think? And that way it won't just be a decree from on high, that people will actually accept it because they've been part of the conversation right from the get-go. So that's why I think it's a good idea. Thanks for supporting it.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. I'll put the motion now as printed on the screen. It's moved by Councillor Cordova, seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour? Against? I'll take a show of hands. All those in favour is Councillors Cordova, Wass, Midgley, Gladewright, Fox, Street, Bastone, Westwood and Reet. Those against? Councillor Grace. Thank you. We now move to page 51, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closing.
Can I ask a question?
Probably not. No, not at this point. Sorry. perhaps when we at the closed session, you might want to do that. So the motion is that we move into closed session, and we have confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, two tender assessments, public place waste bin emptying service tender, and rate rebate conservation covenant. Do I have a mover or a seconder to move into closed session? Thank you, Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Westwood. All those in favour? Against? Before I close, I just wanted to thank everyone for their participation throughout the year, thank our council staff for the work that they have done throughout the year, and give my good wishes to all the residents of Kingborough and beyond for a very happy and safe Christmas and New Year. I hope there are lots of loved ones who are reunited after the borders opening, and we look forward to seeing all of our residents in the new year. Thank you very much, and happy Christmas.